Okay, so the recording has started. Tracy and Barb, this is my first time doing one of these. So do you want me to be the one sharing the screen or do you guys want to take lead? How do we want to do this?
Typically, I start presenting when we're in the application software. So if you want to go ahead and talk through the program content first, I'll jump in when we get to the AmpliFund system.
Wonderful. All right. Wait, bear with me since, again, first time doing this. So, okay. Let me share my screen. And... All right. Can you guys see my screen?
We can.
Awesome. All right. So we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you guys so much for joining, those of you that can join. So this meeting is being recorded, just for everyone's awareness. So this is an orientation for the Latin Pediatric Obesity Coalition FY25 mini grant application kind of kickoff and overview. So grant purpose. So I talked a little bit about this yesterday during the Latin Pediatric Obesity Coalition meeting for April. But the purpose for this mini grant is for the health department to fund, request, and create a heightened level of accountability, transparency, and fairness in the allocation and use of the Virginia Foundation for Healthy Youth funding that we receive, specifically for LPOC. So a lot of things have changed over the last year. I recently took over as the coordinator for the coalition. And so this is a new process that they were just trying to implement. We aim to ensure that all the projects that we are funding through LPOC are well-planned, purposeful, and they align with our overall goals. So under the new process, the funding allocation becomes a more structured and equitable process that clearly limits the funding allowable per partner and per project. So the eligibility criteria is very straightforward. All of our this grant is very internal. It's only for LPOC partners. So you have to be an active LPOC member. You have to, your project has to have a mission that is consistent with our mission. I know that LPOC right now is kind of undergoing a little bit of restructuring, rebranding, and we're rewriting mission, vision, statements, and goals. But ultimately, you know, we are going to continue to support that, the aspects of reducing and preventing obesity in children and I believe the youth. So another eligibility criteria is to show demonstrated outcomes for the program or service. Your proposals must implement long-term policy systems and environmental change activities that support at least one of the 8 behaviors in the VFHY promising practices, and we're going to go over those in the next slide. This is pretty standard, and we've done it before, but you have to agree to sign an MOU with the county and adhere to their reporting requirements, which are a little bit different and have changed from past funding processes. You also have to demonstrate that your organization has the administrative resources to administer these funds and to implement and oversee the program or service that you implement. And all applicants must conduct operations or mostly focus on addressing community needs of Loudoun County Health District. So the behaviors that we are looking for the initiatives to address are the following. This is from the VFHY Promising Practices Framework, and they are listed in a lot more detail in the LPOC FY 2025 mini grant manual that I shared with everyone in LPOC on Monday. But the behaviors are breastfeeding, eating more fruits and vegetables, reducing consumption of energy-dense foods, moving more, decreasing screen time, getting enough sleep, reducing stress would increase mindfulness, and lastly, decreasing the consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. So as stated in the grant manual, the funding limits begin at 500. That's your bottom. That's the minimum amount of money that you can request. And the maximum is 5,000. So our timeline, our application opened technically today. So it was live today. This is the webinar today. Deadline for questions is the 22nd. So you have a couple of weeks to get questions. I'm the point of contact for any questions that you may have in regards to the application. The grant application closes on April 30th at 4 p.m. local time. And after that, we will begin the review of the applications that we receive. And we will send notice of awards to applicants by May 15, 2024. After that, we'll begin working on establishing those MOUs, and we'll have those due by July 26, 2024. And this funding grant performance period is from July 1st, 2024 to June 30th, 2025. So application overview, the application is a little bit extensive, but nothing we haven't done before. I think it's just a lot into a lot more detail. But for this mini grant process, applicants can access the application via AmpliFund Grants Management System, which that's what Tracy's going to go over towards the end of this presentation. Applicants have to complete each required section for the online proposal and upload all the applicable required documents that are in the appendices in the grant manual. So all your questions must be answered to ensure that your proposal is complete. And several items, like I mentioned, must be uploaded electronically as part of the online proposal. The application has four sections. You have your opportunity details, your project information, your application form, and your budget template and narrative. And I don't remember if I went into detail for each section. Actually, I think I cut off a lot of information that I should have included. But since I did send an advance of this grant application, let's move on to Tracy so that she can go over the application system. And then at the end, we can go over any questions that anyone may have that we didn't cover during this.
Okay, that sounds great. And Montserrat, feel free, as I'm walking through, if you want to jump in, that is completely fine with me, because I'll go over like within the system, and if there's something relevant, you can feel free to jump in. But Montserrat, she did send the application link to all of you. It was in the RFA manual. You can access it here through that link. And I'll go ahead and just grab the screen. We also have put together some slides for reference that will basically go over everything that I just said too. So let me share my screen. So after you click, hold on one second. After you click the public link, it will bring you to the opportunity details page that Montserrat just mentioned. So that has the purpose, links, the award ceiling and award floor, when the application is due, how you submit questions, and the eligibility information that she just detailed. Then you can see here that you could also download the application, save it, and click apply. So sometimes we've had some potential applicants that like to see printed versions of everything, and you can do that at any time. This system also has a pretty good responsive help desk. If there are any technical glitches or something, Montserrat is probably the best person to reach out to, and she'll connect you with Barb or I, who are on the call. And we can help troubleshoot any technical issues as your first outreach, but their support is also pretty responsive. So then if you've never registered in the system before, which means you haven't applied to county funding prior to August 2023, once you click apply, you'll be directed to a login page, and then you can click register. And it'll bring you to a new account page. Anything that you fill out here will autofill in the system. And it also gives you the role as the account administrator, which I'll mention in a second. There are no security requirements with the password. You can just fill in this part and the organization information. You can click same as above. And then all of the required fields are marked with an asterisk. Okay, so then you click register, and it'll bring you to licensing terms and agreements for Amplifund, which I'm sure you will all read word for word very carefully. You'll scroll to the bottom. If you hit I accept, then you'll advance to the grant page and click apply again. And this will bring you to the project information section that Montserrat referenced. I also want to bring your attention to the account information part. So if you click on your name in the top corner and go to account information, here's where you could see your application if you've saved it and need to come back to it. You can add users to the account. You can see your account information here and edit it with that button. You could also add users. So the organization administrator is with the information that you filled out before. You can add a user here just by adding an email address. And then there's an editor role, so someone can help you fill out the application at your organization, but they can't add new users or submit. Only the administrator can submit. And if you hover over that information icon, you'll see that information. So I'm going to go back to applications and go to this one that we just started. This ribbon bar at the top is really great for navigation. So on the opportunity details page, you can hit save and continue or advance just by clicking at the top. Again, anything marked with an asterisk is something that you should fill out. I'm going to request the full $5,000. And then again, my name saved from when I registered in the system. So then I'll save and continue. And then you also have to hit mark as complete in order to get a check mark on the top. And again, this is all in the slides that will be provided as well. So then you'll come to the application form, and for this particular application, there's only one form. It's the mini grant that you're all applying for. An Amplifund does time out, so I recommend saving the application periodically. You don't have to have everything complete. You can walk away and come back and log out and log back in, and your progress will be saved. But if you haven't entered information after a certain amount of time, it'll give you a little warning. And if you miss it, because they're, you know, you're at a nonprofit and you have your windows open and you're working on other things, you know, it will time out for you. So you can go through and fill it out. There is one conditional question. So the numbering might look a little off. If you don't have an additional office location, the primary project contact, it connects to the Promising Practice Framework that Montserrat mentioned. And then there are character limits. So all the questions that are worth 2 points have a 250 word limit, and the ones that are worth 4 have a 500 character limit. And the application will automatically stop you from entering more. Then there is a project work plan requirement, and it works just like attaching a file to an email. So you would click the work plan link to open up the document. And then you can download it after you fill it in. I'm not sure what you can see on my screen, but after you fill it in and save it on your desktop to computer, you'll hit choose file and go to open, and it'll attach there for you. You can hit delete by hitting the trash can and upload a different one. And then there's a bunch of, you can put your organization's current year operating budget. And if there are any other additional financial documentation that you would like to upload, you can do that on the choose file. The budget directions are at the end of the application form, because the template is in the next section. So your authorizing official will sign off here, and then you could hit mark as complete and save and continue. So when you hit mark as complete and there are fields that are not filled out that are required, it'll give you these errors. And you can go back and see which ones are marked with red that you have to go back and fill out. But again, you can still save and continue without everything being filled out to advance to the next section. You just won't be able to submit at the end. So I requested $5,000 at the beginning on that project information page. So there's the budget already populates with that amount, so it will have to match. And you're only filling in the budget amount. You won't fill in. You're filling in the budget amount for this grant. So I'm going to put in personnel costs. Let me go back a little bit. So after you click on the plus sign, it'll bring up a line item. So the categories that are on the budget template are listed there. You'll click the plus sign and it'll bring up the line item. You can name the line item. And then put the cost in here. And then the budget narrative should be very detailed. And there's some directions that were in the budget template that are provided underneath the category description. So then you can create it, and then you'll see that the budget cost is zero. And then you can do mark as complete and save and continue. And that'll bring you to the submit page. Because the application form wasn't all the way filled out, it has the error there, and you'll have to go back and you can see that that one doesn't have a check mark. You can review your application, and then after you've submitted it correctly with all the fields filled out, you can download the application for your records. So I'm going to stop sharing now. Barbara Montserrat, did I leave anything out with the technical piece of it?
Tracy, thank you so much. I did want to add, in terms of the budget, I didn't want to interrupt you. When it comes to the narrative, we do the requirement is like as detailed as you can. So if you're buying a book that is, you know, $30 and you're buying 10 of them, like put that in the description. And it can be, you know, the way that we've done it for when we submit our budget to VFHY, which this is supposed to mimic that, we say, you know, items for cooking class, and then that is your general description of what you're buying, how much it is, and then the next, then the narrative, that's where we go when we very detailed say, we're buying 10 pans, we're buying 20 forks, groceries, and you put the estimated cost of that. So, yeah. Thank you, Tracy. And since we have time and Tracy has covered the technical aspects of this, I did want to go back kind of to the application thing. There were a few things that I meant to cover, and I think I opened the wrong slide. So I just added some slides really quick. Tracy, Barb, did you guys have anything to add in terms of the technical before we kind of go back to the application? Okay, awesome.
Nope.
All right. So this is where we stopped, which was the application overview. I'm not going to go too much into detail in terms of the part one and part two for the opportunity details and project information, since Tracy kind of gave you an overview of what that looks like in the application system. But I do think it's important to, in terms of the application form, which is section four, where did it go? Okay, give me 1 second. Oh, okay, I don't. Okay, well, clearly I can't get my slides straight, so I don't want to waste too much time on this. But in terms of this, two things that I wanted to touch on that are the reporting requirements that are attached to this grant. So since this is technically it's a mini grant of the grant that we are doing, so we have reporting requirements. So in order for us to be able to submit that within our timeline, we do require the reporting from our partners that are being funded through this mini grant to be kind of due ahead of the time that it's due for us. So the reporting requirements look very much like what we submit. We took a lot of the questions from the reports VFHY asked us to submit to mimic this. So you have to kind of describe the community-based prevention strategies that happened during the last quarter. These are quarterly requirement reports. The behaviors and or categories that you worked on in the past quarter, any barriers that you encounter. Maybe I was the barrier. Maybe, you know, the coalition was the barrier, not approving things or moving too slow and like MOUs and things like that. So that is perfectly fine to say in the reports, and then evaluation internal of your organization. What are you doing to evaluate how well your initiative is doing? And this is where you say, you know, we served X amount of people, and we, you know, this is what we achieved and how we evaluated that. So our quarterly reports are always due on the 15th of October, January, April, and July. So your reports are due 2 weeks before ours so that we can compile all of those reports and pass them on. And then in terms of the monthly reimbursement, so this is something that we also have to do. Any expenses occur during a month, we have to submit on a monthly basis. So at the end of July, by August 15th, you'd have to give me all of those receipts, proof of purchase, proof of any expense that you acquired during that time period. You have to submit it by the 15th of each month so that we can submit it of 30 days of the 15 days after the month ended. And then we submit it at the end of 30 days after the month ended. We do provide the cover sheet and the documents, so do look at those. One of the questions that I know some entities have that are not able to receive funding, we are able to continue to purchase items in their behalf. You still have to apply for this funding, but you have to, and the MOU would outline how you're receiving that funding. So if you are going to be reimbursed by from us because you bought the materials first, you this is what applies to you. But if we bought materials for you to do your activities, then we would be the ones reporting on and submitting these invoices. So just wanted to point that out. I'm sure that I'm missing a lot of other things that are important in the application. So if anybody has any questions, this is the time to ask them. But again, you also can reach out to me directly with any questions in terms of the grant and the application. And while you are filling out the application, if there are any questions that don't make sense to you or you need clarification on, feel free to reach out. Does anybody have any questions? Thank you, Barb and Tracy. They made all of this possible, helped us a lot in putting together the application manual and, of course, putting the actual application in the Amplifon system. So we really appreciate your help, and we're here if you guys have any questions. Tracy, how will you be sharing the recording with us?
I will make it into a link and then send it to you, and you can distribute it with the RFA and the slides.
Perfect. So you guys can look out for that LPUC-wise. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. So good to see you again, Barb.
Same. Likewise. Take care.
Bye.